Welcome to the We Leaders podcast, where leaders share how to leave a legacy that makes history. I'm your host, Elena Fulvio. As a 13-time world record-holding skydiver and Olympic development athlete, psychic intuitive, and former Silicon Valley in-house talent advisor for some of the most legendary leaders and successful companies in history, there is a new bar being set for leadership. They're called We Leaders. What this means for you on this show, We Leaders will show up for you and bring their unapologetic truth, most successful strategies and mindsets so you can level up. We share from our shoes so you can walk in them. Here, the only rules are authenticity, respect, and being in service of every human having the lives they want. Join the movement. Welcome to the We Leaders podcast. Now let's go make history. I am so excited for today's show. I have a very new friend, actually, and it was a very special immediate connection when we first met, my friend Paul Ibarra, and they call him Coach Paul, and he'll share more about what he does, but he has, I'd say, one of the more unique backgrounds that I know of. There's a holisticness about him. So he's a founder of Set Free Life Ministries. He's a coach. He was a pastor, but he'll share about that unique perspective because I was also raised in the church, but we have a lot of similarities in terms of thought process there. Carpenter, father, husband, a magical story. And you're not going to want to miss midway into the end. He's going to share something that he has experienced in 2001 that can be really beneficial to everybody on here. And he is, I'm a huge fan of him and his, what he does out in the world. And he'll talk about the freedom and the we culture that he creates in his life and how you can bring that immediately into your personal life, into your business. I'm just honored for you to be here today and share your light and your message and your how, because it's really brilliant. So thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Elena. This has been just the conversation before this conversation has been lightning, right? And so, yes, I am Coach Paul, Pastor Paul as well. I've been a pastor since, on paper, I've been a pastor since 2015. But just in life, I would say I was probably 13, 14 years old, just because it's that nature of who I am, of being able to help father people. I was told years ago that I literally have a father spirit, which is so crazy because I've never been able to have kids. And I never knew my father. And the stepfather that I had, totally different podcast. You follow what I'm saying? But just being able to be that guy. I love my wife, Leslie, a carpenter, and I love my pups. I got a pit bull, Gracie Mae. She is a hot mess, but she is my baby, and can't nobody touch her. And then we've got a border collie mixed with chow. And so we're just very, very mixed. It's me and my wife. We have one son. He's in Colorado. And we're in that transition, getting there as well. And so we're literally packing up now, and we're leaving this Saturday morning. So we're ready for this new adventure. And so, with that, I'm just so grateful for being on your show. Yeah. And so excited, because just the whole We Leader concept, the whole brand, the whole DNA behind it, just really sparks my interest. So
yeah. Well, you are it, you are an embodiment. I think, there's so many different moving parts of creating the unification and break. And this is another thing I can't wait for them to hear, is about how you break static, or how you break the stuckness of our greatness, of global greatness, of individual greatness and collective greatness. And you do it in a way that I love, by the way, your description of your gang at home. A border collie and a chow. I don't even think I've ever heard of that. Right. And your pit, and just who she is, and then your wife. And I don't have any kids either. And so I get it. My animals, my kids. And I just love your clan at home, because none of us, I don't know if anyone that's going to watch this or hear this can raise their hand to be perfect. I don't know what that is, but I think everyone is, And in our Absolutely. In our mixedness. So I can't wait to hear all of what you have to say. So share wherever you want to begin, because I think your story can start anywhere. You can pick a place in your history and share that, but you have a why you do what you do, and you bring freedom to the world. I think you also bring love to the world and connection. And so share wherever you want to start. Share wherever that was your moment where you want to start, and share through that aspect of how you bring people there.
Awesome. Well, you know, one of the greatest things that I love to do is really truly build community, is like bring community to the table. And the only way that anyone could ever really truly bring community to the table is authenticity, transparency, and vulnerability. Without those three things, we're missing the whole leader concept. Like, I was literally going to co-write with another friend of mine a book called Lead by Design, because, you know, there's so many different great leaders out there that are writing books that are doing this and doing that. And, you know, no shade on anybody, but at the same time, it's like, here's our program and here's how leadership works. And it's like, but you're missing the culture part. You're missing the community part. You're missing the relational. You're missing the crying with somebody. You're missing the part where you're in the ditch with somebody and you're digging them out of that ditch. I've got a friend of mine that he's gone through some marital stuff. And, you know, I finally told him, I said, listen, if you want me to be in the ditch with you, I'm there with you. If you want me to be on a mountaintop, I'm there with you. You just got to let me know where you're at so I know what tools to bring. Because if we're in the ditch, I can't bring my nice clothes that I'm on the mountaintop with. I got to bring my overalls. I got to bring my boots. I got to bring my shovel. And I've got to help you through this ditch. And so that's where the authenticity is. And this is where I've learned as a pastor, quote unquote, is that I got so tired, Elena, of the platform being so high that the people couldn't reach the man of God. Yeah. So my whole thing is, okay, so let's break it down. Where was Jesus? He was in this. He was at the well with the woman. He was there with, he was walking, talking. Jesus did four things. He walked, he talked, he loved, and he period. He rocked with his people. So when we take that that template, right? We take that template and we say, okay, everything else that's in the Word of God, or everything else that's in the church structure, is commentary. Yeah. It's total commentary. But if we don't have love, we're never going to be able to reach the masses. And so just to break it down really quick, I was raised in east side of San Jose, California. Straight hood, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My stepfather.
I don't drive in that area for a reason.
Yes. Yes. And so my stepfather was a molester. He molested my sister, abused my mom, abused me tremendously. And so I never knew my father. I never thought about him. Never really missed them, because how do you miss something that you don't, that you never had, right? And so through that, I learned how to manipulate because of my stepfather. Mm-hmm. I learned because I was in the atmosphere of that. And so, you know, people don't understand that generational curses or generational cycles, whatever you want to call it Susie, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. It's either your bloodline that can be broken, the atmosphere that you're in, what's been spoken over you, or what you've spoken over yourself, or what you've witnessed. And so in those moments, in those places, I was able to learn how to maneuver through life. I learned how to manipulate. I learned how to emotionally abuse somebody by just the way I looked at them, the way I talked to them, the way people sensed me. I was very quiet, but I knew what was going on. So fast forward through life, I used it to be able to, you know, run the dope game, to do what I had to do, hustling, gangbanging, the whole nine. I mean, it was San Jose, California, bro. I mean, it was the thing. That's what you do. It's yeah. hustler capital, period. California all in itself, north and south, yeah. right? So you get to that place where it's like, okay, so I understand that I have to live a better life, but how do I do so? Mm-hmm. Because of what I've been taught or what I've engulfed in within myself. And so to fast forward, now I'm 33 years old. Before I even stepped into a church, I had already stopped doing the dope. I had already stopped doing all of that stuff because I wanted something better, but I had to leave California. I had to leave my geographical area. And so what I slowly began to find out was, all right, the drugs and the alcohol is gone. But why am I still mad? Why am I still yeah. bitter? Why do I still feel rejected? Why do I still feel abandoned? Why do I feel so different from everyone else and everything? Because I was fighting myself, trying to fit into places where I did not belong.
Right.
Until I got to the place, Elena, that I understood. I said, okay, so if I don't fit in these places, then that means I'm different. And it's okay to be different. So many times we want to fit where we're not supposed to be yeah. because we are individually made, period. Like we are totally individually made. And until I got that clear in my mind, okay, now I get it. Because I didn't even rock with a lot of people in the street. I didn't rock with a lot of people in the church. I didn't rock with a lot of people that were CEOs, but I could speak to one of them. Yeah. And that's where we have to understand as a people, you talk about we leadership, right? We have to understand, like you always say, it's a we thing. I can't go to a Mexican restaurant and eat a plate of food if someone's not in the back rocking a mocajete.
Right.
With some peppers, right? It takes all of us to make this thing happen. And so when I started coming under leadership that was not so inviting.
Not so we-like.
Right. It's not so we-like. I'm like, yeah. What in the world? And so when I met you just a week ago, I'm like, we leaders. I'm like, she's got the concept. Like, this is what it's all about. It's all about the conversation. It's all about being able to understand, even though we're different, mm-hmm. we're still the same. We still have that same pulse because people have to understand that it's not just a heartbeat. There's a pulse behind it.
Yeah.
There's a pulse that's running through our veins. There's a pulse that's running in the spirit. There's a pulse that's running in our DNA. It's alive and it's well, and it's moving and it's shaking. And I love Divergent movies. I love Insurgent. I love all those movies because when people are like, those are just movies. I'm like, dude, you don't even see story.
Right.
Like it's this one chick, this one girl that's totally different from everyone. That's who we are.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to be like everyone else, the world is trying to kill us.
Oh yeah.
Because we're different. They sense it. They smell it. And the reason why we go through adversity is because God trusted us to be able to go through that. Right. You follow what I'm saying? And yeah. and you know this because you've gone through it. And so touching on the part where I finally got to a place where I'm like, okay, I'm going to church 4 days a week. This is before I was a pastor. I'm going to the altar every Sunday for the same sin. Mm. I think I'm doing the things right that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But why do I still feel like a mess? Why am I still trying to seek approval? Why can I just not live and wake up with peace that I hear everyone else talking about, but they're still angry when they come to church?
Exactly. Exactly. Right?
Well, you're just supposed to have the peace. I went and did this this testimony one day at the church that I got saved in. This was years later. And I shared my testimony. It was part of a 12-step program. Excuse me. And this girl was not a believer, agnostic, the whole nine. She comes up and says, you know, I struggle in this area. And one of the leaders came up and he's like, well, you just have to believe. And I looked at him and I looked at her and I said, on the contrary, he said, what do you mean? I said, you don't have to believe. I said, here's what it is. It's about relationship. I said, don't ever let anyone tell you what you have to do. Mm-hmm. I said, because that's where free will comes into play. I said, you're searching for something that you don't know what you're searching for yet. I said, what you're searching for is something so deeply rooted that you can't find it yet because you really truly don't even know who you are yet.
Right.
I said, there's a story that's in the Bible where there was this young boy that was dealing with a demonic spirit. Jesus walked up. Jesus didn't even deal with the demon.
Oh yeah.
Jesus dealt with the Father. He said, do you believe? He didn't even deal with the demon. He dealt with the Father. He said, do you believe? And the Father said, I do. However, help me in my unbelief. I said, so here's the thing. Sometimes even us that are so deeply rooted that we say that we're church people, right? We still don't believe sometimes.
Yeah.
We're still human. I said, so your walk has nothing to do with anyone else in this room. I said, because it's your walk. I said, if you're searching for him, you'll find him. And that totally, from that moment forward, I started looking at leaders in a whole different way. I'm like, y'all ain't even meeting this girl where she's at.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even meeting her right here.
Well, let me insert something too. I'll bet you that he wasn't even meeting himself where he was truly at. For instance, you with your story about going out and wheeling and dealing. And as you talked about who you were on the streets, my knowledge of you and my experience of you is not a manipulator, is not that. So your we-ness to yourself, your authenticity to yourself, you didn't know better, but you probably felt disconnected. And no wonder you broke, you know, no more drugs, no more drinking, whatnot, but you still felt inauthentic because you just broke habits, but yet your connection internal hadn't arisen or hadn't become solidified. And so with this man, as you're talking about him, it's like this projection aspect. He's not connected to his true self. So what he's putting on her is to just not be connected with her true self and just glaze over it. Where you're on the other side going, wait a second, why do I still feel uncomfortable, but yet I'm free? Oh, like the gift box that's open. Like, here's your freedom gift. Well, I don't feel it. I don't know it. And with her, she's going, where does that come from? And I'm hearing you talk about how we may not know how we got someplace and why we're disconnected, but it's getting authentically connected with ourselves, vulnerable and authentic with who we truly are, loving ourselves into our authenticity, allowing ourselves to be free, and then doing that for others. Like, that's, as you're talking, that's just what I hear in terms of just who you are, which I think is, because we and the connection is yes here, but it's also, I know that sometimes I have the humanness that goes on with not good enough here, or you got to do this and that. And I thought, that's not very nice. You know, that's right. Not very we like to myself. I can't be split. And so I love what you're saying and the examples that you give. I identified with every example that you gave of your story. And in my own life as, wow, I've done things that I've gone, wow, I'm not really connected, but I'm really good at that. Or someone says to me, like when I became a widow, just get over it. And I'm like, well, how do you do that? Like, how do you, you know, like with this girl. So continue with that. I just wanted to put that in place because I think everyone can identify that. And one other thing that I think you talk about, which is so beautiful, is everyone's uniqueness is perfectly perfect and it's needed, right? So if anyone out there is listening, I always like to give a shout out. You're perfectly perfect where you are and we need you. Like, we need you to show up authentically and vulnerably like you did with your friend. You know, you tell them, I can't get in that ditch with you if you're not authentic with me. I can only get as dirty as you let me. I can only dig as far as you need me to if you let me know. So I think that's great. I love it. Continue. I just had to put that in there, what I'm seeing.
I totally love it. And to your point about losing somebody, I lost somebody last year due to cancer. And I took care of him. Not had to. I was able to take care of him for the last 3 months of his life. And when he left, you know, I love people and I love friends, but at some point it's like, they're like, oh my God, like, you know, are you all right? I finally said, listen, stop asking me if I'm all right. Stop telling me that you saw somebody that looked like Joe. Stop telling me that, oh my God, this song came on and it was Joe's song. Joe was there. Joe is gone.
Yeah.
Like, let me grieve my way. Leave me the F alone.
Yeah.
Like seriously, leave me alone. Let me walk through my process.
Yeah.
And that is something that we as leaders have to understand. Allow them, get your claws off of people, mm-hmm. allow them to grow. They've got to go to grow sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to let them grow. And so to this same woman that was battling this thing, that's when I started looking at it going, okay, I just met religion and I don't like it. I like relationship because that's why God created us. He said, let's make man in our image. And it's not good for man to be alone. And it wasn't just for the husband and wife, but it was to procreate. It was to have community and it was to bring people together. Because you can only be around your dogs for so long, right?
Yeah, I mean, even as amazing as, you know, they are.
As they are.
You need a break sometimes, yeah. You know?
Yes. And so that's where, you know, prior to that, that's where my journey began. Because when I got so fed up and tired, I literally left California in 2001, ended up in Ohio, and stayed there for 6 years. And then I moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area because my brother moved here. So I figured, well, if he's there, it's because there's money there. Because we was hustlers back home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I came here. It was just hot. It was humid. And I literally went back to California with the intent to backslide. Because I still wasn't living the way that there was something in me that I'm like, there's something that has to be burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I had best friends of mine like, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for you to go to, you know, California, go back home. And I'm like, ah, you know what? God's speaking to me. It's time for me to go back. Mm. And I went with the intent inside. There's something that I need to burn out. And when I finally got to the place where I was tired of church, churchy people, I would have, you know, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed. No, you're not. Like, no, you're not.
Something different. Like, mix it up a little or something.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm thinking we go to the hospital because we're sick. So we come to church because we have some problems.
Yeah.
So be real with me and tell me I've had a day.
Yeah.
Like my life isn't good right now. I need your help. I get tired of what I call Christianese. Don't give me Christianese. I don't need Christianese. I need somebody to be real with me. And so when I went to California, backslid, I got so far deep that people that I had lost contact with for 10 years, all of a sudden found my number. How's that happen? Calling me saying, hey, you ready to get back to work? And I'm like, no, I'm good.
What was
Let
that?
Me call you back.
Speak about that, because that is big, big for a human to do, because your friends are seeing something and worried for you. The ones before you left, right? Are saying probably not a good idea. But your perspective is not, I'm going to dive deep into it in the way of truly getting back into it. But there was a curiosity of yours that it sounds like there was, you knew the disconnection between your truth and what you were still tied to.
Right.
And you went back and it was like back into the old way was super easy. And you could have easily gone back to that. So speak to that, because I know I've been in multiple times in my life, and I don't think there's anyone out there that hasn't been in that pivotal moment of what do I do? Because you can slip slide back into the easy of the I'm blessed. Not really, but I'm going to say that and mask it. Or, hey, you ready to get back to work? What's the easy route? What was that like? Who did you have to show up for yourself as? Like, what was that?
You know, in that moment, I'm so glad that you asked me that, because it like really like took me back to that moment. Mm. It was one of the darkest seasons of my life, because I was in a place for a year and a half that I didn't hear God's voice. I didn't hear him speaking to my spirit, because I was in my wilderness season. I knew he was there, but I didn't feel him like I felt him before. And so in that moment, when I get this phone call from this person, "What up, dog?" I'm like, "Who's this?" And he's like, "So-and-so." And I'm like, thinking like, "How the hell did you get my number?" And he's like, "Come on, dog. Like, this is SJ, bro." And I'm like, and he's like, "And you, Paul, you Nino Brown." Cause that was my nickname, Nino. He's like, "You Nino Brown, bro. Everybody knows where you're at." And I'm like, "All right." I said, "What's up?" And he's like, "You ready to get back to work?" And I'm like, "Let me get back to you." Mm. Because it was that moment where I knew, all right, this is the crossroads. This is what I used to feel even before I knew God. When I would have this discernment in me saying, "I'm not going to go do this move today. Why not? It don't feel right. Something just don't feel right." And sure enough, somebody else got busted. And it was that same gut-wrenching feeling where you know, man, if I do this, there is no turning back. Wow. At all. There's like no turning back. Like, you know, like when you're out with somebody and you're like, if I go out on a date with this person, I already know we ain't just gonna go have a glass of wine. Like,
you can,
you know what I'm saying?
Your body and your spirit and all of the above. Yes. And I got to call this out right now, because you saw me like fidgeting in my chair and I'm like, this is good. Cause I've heard you speak and I read your story. And I will say this, we leadership, I think people might come and say, "Oh, it's about, you know, connecting with other." And it is. You mentioned, you know, vulnerability, transparency, et cetera. You showed up for you, your truth, your authenticity, so vulnerably. And that moment must have been like an aha, a wow, and maybe a little bit of freedom, but also a whoa, I really have a moment of choice. Right. You showed up as a leader for yourself. Like, you chose you.
Right.
Your truth, your authenticity in a place of vulnerability where it'd be super easy to just say, "Yeah, I'll meet you around the corner," or whatnot. But even if someone hadn't gotten caught, if you had done it, caught or not, you still would be living with that inauthenticity with yourself.
Exactly. And that's where that's where everything got real. Like, it got real at that moment. Like, all right. And it was basically like those old school cartoons where it had the little angel and it had the little devil.
Oh, right? I have them.
it was like, what are you gonna do? So it wasn't only just the chatter from everyone else. It was the chatter in my head going, "Bro, you know you can do this. Mm. You know how to do this. Like, this is who you are. This is who your real dad was. He worked for so-and-so. He did this. He did that. You know that you could just get back in the hood real quick. Yo, what's up? Like, I'm ready to do this." And you would be able to do it. Or you can leave this life, because you know what the good side has been. You just haven't had relationship. And no lie, within, I believe it was like 72 hours, a very friend of mine called me and said, "I feel that there's something bad about to happen. I've got a plane ticket waiting for you. Just come back home." Wow. And here's what I told her. And I was bawling when I told her. I said, "Listen, have you ever wanted to buy a brand new house?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Would you take your old furniture into your brand new house?" And she's like, "Probably not." I said, "I'm that old furniture." She said, "All you got to do is come home. Just come home. Something bad's going to happen to you." Elena within 12 hours. I jumped on a plane. I had a business out there. I was doing reels. I sold my truck. I gave up work, at least $150,000 worth of work. I left my tools. I sold it all for $300. I said, all I need is money to eat. Flew home. The minute I touched down into Cleveland, Ohio, the minute I touched that ground, I had it out with God. And I said, listen, if you can't produce for me, the God that's in your word, not church, anybody can do church. I knew, Elena, I knew when to worship. I knew when to cry. I knew when to go to the altar. I knew how to play church. I could play church the best way I could play it. But if you can't produce to me the God that's in this Bible, then I might as well just fly back home. And that's where my journey began, because listen, you could stay here in the upper room in my attic. It was all furnished. It was everything. You could stay here as long as you need. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about rent. Don't worry about nothing but feeding yourself. And it was a whole year of purification for me. And this is where people have to understand, going back to the word of God, when God himself delivered the people from Israel, from Egypt, into the new land, into the promised land, because he heard his people's cry, right? That's where we have to understand. You see, I wasn't somebody who just stopped doing drugs. I was delivered. Yeah. Because when you're delivered, when something's delivered to you, when something's handed to you, it's delivered to you. So I was delivered from the hand of the enemy into God's hands, delivered from this place in life, but I really truly wasn't set free. And that's where the whole name of Set Free Ministry came from, because once we understood, you could be delivered, but if you ain't set free, all you are is going to be walking around in this wilderness. And so in that year of me just having purification time with God, I literally got to a place where I felt hot, because I was really going through this refining fire in the spirit, burning out the abandonment, the rejection, the days and the nights of crying my eyes out. Why do I have this chatter in my head? Why am I not good enough? Why can't I hold down a relationship? Why am I hooked to pornography? Why is all this stuff going on? Why did my childhood have to be the way it was? Why couldn't I just be somewhere else? Why couldn't I be a part of some other family? Why? And when I started burning that stuff out, I got to a point where I was ready to give up again. And here's what I felt in my spirit that God spoke to me. He said, listen, I know it's hot. I know you're tired, but you're in the middle of the fire. I said, I know, and I'm ready to quit. He said, why would you quit now? You're in the middle. So if you walk backwards, it's the same distance that it is if you just finish this process out.
Yeah.
And so when I kept going, I kept moving. I was fasting. I was praying. I was on my face. I'm crying out to God, and I'm just crying out to people. That's where I learned, watch your nouns. Watch your people, your places, and your things, because not all of them are going to be with you forever. There's people that are going to come into your life and they're going to go. There's people that are going to manipulate, but you got to let them go. There's people that are going to come in, and in order for you to really truly be set free, like you said, you have to allow yourself, number one, to work that stuff out that's inside, that junk. I am a huge movie buff, and I love all Rockies. But when Rocky was in Balboa, he said, I've got this thing on the inside. I've got this beast in the basement.
Yeah.
That's where I was at. Like, I want to know that I have done everything in my power to overcome the obstacles. And so that's where the whole premise of Set Free Life began. And we truly branded it by putting a period at the end of it, because once we understood you're set free, period, you may go through stuff, but when you're able to come back to your senses and say, you know what, this may happen, but I can overcome.
Yeah.
This may come against me, but I can overcome. I've been here before, but I made it through. I know how to do this because of the things that I've done. And that's where Christianity, and again, I'm not bashing Christians. I am one. But right. What I'm saying is, when we finally get to the place where we understand true grace and true mercy, when we understand that we are going to fall short, and when we understand that man has so much rules and regulations on the word of God, that number one, what did Jesus say when they try to trap him? What's the greatest commandment? He said to love God with all your mind, soul, and strength. What did he do? He gave back the Torah. He gave them back the law, back to Deuteronomy 6, and said, okay, let me speak to you in your language right now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And along with that, love your brother. Mm-hmm. On those two things hangs all the law and the prophets. What's he saying? Everything else is commentary.
Yeah.
Everything else is commentary. And that's why they wanted him so. That's why they tried to trap him. That's why they tried to do this. Why? He came to bring a revolution. And that's what we need to be doing as a people, coming in a revolution. That's what we are here for, to be different, to be individuals. You follow what I'm saying? And that's why being a we leader, when I heard just that statement, I'm like, I got to rock with this girl. Because when I was on the Zoom call, I was already searching it. Okay, let me look this girl up. And I was like, we leaders. And I started listening to the podcast. I did all, and I'm like, you know what? This right here is a movement.
Yeah.
And that's what Set Free Life has always been too. I've told people this is not a church. It's a movement. It's not a ministry.
It is a movement.
It's a movement. It's a movement because it's alive and well. So,
yeah,
you know.
And I agree. I think, we could talk for days. I mean, I love that you talk about the movement too, because in the revolution, your first revolution was with you. You went inward. And it's interesting because when my husband died, I told people I saw this wall of fire, and you didn't have all the steps figured out in your future, but I see that you created a revolution inside yourself and you went, I'm going anyway. And I'm going to put my trust in that. You showed up. You might have called out God and said, show up for me like this, but you showed up in like you did in front of your friend, vulnerable, authentic, true, right there, ready to go, and said, I am, which is you are our leader, and I will receive you as such, which is brilliant, because all those onlookers around you probably were going, you have no idea. I always say the ripple effect that we leave in life and after is off the charts. And who knows, maybe that guy that called you on the phone that said, hey, or anybody that heard that you were not coming back to that life, who knows beyond your now recognition, who might have gone, huh, maybe me too, and started their own revolution inside of themselves, because you started a revolution inside yourself and are now doing that outward, which, to his point, we're just waiting for you guys to come along. Like our doors, arms, hearts, minds are open, because our truth is connection. Our truth is everyone is unique. Everyone is perfectly perfect. We're just waiting for everyone to say, let's do this together, like Jesus. It is the freedom. It's the freedom revolution inside, to love yourself enough so that you can have what you want, which is the connection, the love from others, which is why we're here. That's it.
Absolutely.
I love it.
What you said in the beginning about the light shine, because you were so right, because not all my friends, but most of my friends on Facebook are from my past. And so they've been watching me. They've been seeing me, and they're like, to where I started coaching one that was older than me. She's 61 years old, going through some stuff. And it was finally to a point where she was going on my lives, and now she was commenting. And I'm like, hey, cool. And so I would just messenger, hey, thank you for the support. Not, hey, let me give you a Bible study. Like, thank you for your support. And it just got to the point where she's just like, hey, can you help me in this area? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get on a Zoom call. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's do that. And so you are absolutely right that all my old homeboys, there's like two or three of them, that will every now and then and just say, dude, we're so proud of you, man. Like, you got out the game, you're doing it, but you bring the gospel in a way that is relative.
Yeah.
Not this language that we can't speak. And so let me just touch on this one analogy that I want people to understand. And I call it, hand somebody a paintbrush. Mm. Here's the concept behind it. When I was painting houses and doing remodels, one of my mentees, youngster, matter of fact, he's coming Thursday night. They just had, he recently, you know, got married and he's just, but I used to micromanage because I'm all about brand. I'm all about stamp. Like every leave, it's got to say Ibarra Painting. You know what I'm saying? Like, who did that? Ibarra Painting. It was so meticulous that I would only give all of my workers one tarp. You got one tarp. No mess. Like, this is how rock star I want you. I want everyone on point. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so this kid one day, I had two jobs going and I had to be at another job and he's all I had. Mm. And there was a 2,400 square foot townhouse that we needed to get painted. So I start cutting in and I'm like, I can't do two jobs today. So I look at him and I said, hey, he said, yeah. I was like, you think you can cut this in? And he's like, I don't know. I said, I think you can. I said, listen, see this paint cup? He said, yeah. I said, see this brush? Here's how you dunk it. I said, now watch what I'm doing. Like a pin, I did it. And I do it. He's like, okay. He grabs it and cuts it in. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, let me cut around this faceplate. He cut a plate. I said, okay, let me cut it on, you know, down at the trim. He cut the trim and I said, okay, cool. He's like, what's up? This is your house. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, this is your house. And he's like, I see you got this. Here's a ladder. Here's a paintbrush. There's a tarp. I'll be back. And he's like, are you sure? I was like, look what you did. Now just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. I came back that afternoon. He had half the house cut. He's like, what about rolling it? I said, I want you to just to cut for the next 3 days. He painted a 2,400 square foot townhouse, top and bottom, cut everything in, rolled it out, mess. And that's where I learned, if we hand someone a paintbrush, we can create leaders. And that's when I understood, I don't care how you did it. I just want it done.
Right.
However, there's a certain standard that I want you to learn, not for me, but for
you. Yeah.
Because I want that customer to walk into this townhouse saying, that dude can paint. Why? Because you're the one representing you. You're not representing my company right now. You're representing you.
Yep.
And once he got that concept and I got that concept, I started relinquishing power and understanding, you know what? A leader isn't a micromanager.
Yeah.
A leader is saying, Elena, phone, there's email in here. There's apps in here. There's this thing called Facebook in here. And you can use this. This thing has power, but I want you to learn how to use it. Once you learn how to use it, you're like, I got this.
Yeah.
I could download Word docs. I can do all of this stuff, right? And so that's where we have to understand. And that's where I understood. And I finally got to the point, okay, now I understand what a true leader is. Because once I was settled with myself,
yeah,
and I didn't have to show the world I did this, the whole trajectory changed.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, this is how I'm going to build community. This is how life is going to get better. This is how, let's just talk about empowerment,
yeah,
comes into play.
Yeah.
There's so many out there that empower. They just want to be in power.
Oh yeah.
But they don't want to empower.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Well, they
and
give,
that's what it's
they give
called.
The paintbrush and they go, here. And they go like this. And I've had those. And I'm like, but don't you, I thought you wanted to empower me. And they're like, you know, like, it's like a push pull. It's kind of like, well, like, it's like I talk about here. It's like, I'm going to create this nonprofit, but I call it Give to Give. You give and you empower to give, not to sit there and go, when are you going to give back to me? Or what are you going to do for me? You empower to empower. You empower because you love, like selflessly. You know, it does come back, obviously, and give to you. I'm sure you were proud and there was your own freedom inside of you, you know. Right. But I agree, there's a lot of leaders out there that lead through the manipulation, like your stepfather, the manipulation, and then you should do this and it has to look this certain way, which kills off all the uniqueness as you're talking about, like your dogs. I mean, your dogs are ridiculous unique. I mean, I honestly, the one is like, imagine if you were like, you need to be a lab, but you're a border collie. Good luck with that, right? You know, or telling someone who is a creative to not be a creative, or tell someone who is authentically loving, don't be loving. It kills off. Right. You talk about the freedom and the connection and the truth. And and I love how you allowed your uniqueness and your truth. I mean, man, you've had a journey, a really big journey in life that, everyone has one, but I think yours is so powerful for me because it shows, and you said something right at the end before was, and you didn't say it this way, but I got it as, look back to where you've succeeded before and take a look at what you've done because you can do it again. And even if you haven't, even if like you haven't, the fire aspect is so powerful too, and the uncomfortable. It's not going to get pretty. It's going to get uglier before it gets ugly. Ugly and that fire and all that uncomfortable, but that's the good, like you said, the goodness just like seeping out of you, like when you drink enough water, like what comes out is the impurification. So it's, I think there's so many nuggets inside of not just your story and what you would see that you went through, but how you went through it, which I think is so important because you're not saying, hey, I'm perfect and I went through this and look at how I went through it. It was, wow, this is how I went through it. And who I want to be is authentic to myself and others. And so I got to live like that. And you got to show up like that. So I just think your story is absolutely amazing.
Okay. So one of the things that I did learn through that whole fire scenario was about self was, it wasn't so much about, I like what you were saying earlier that I showed up. Right? I showed up through that fire. I showed up through that refining. You were talking about sweating and the pores and drinking water. Well, in that season, for me, it wasn't so much that as I'm looking back, I had attitude going through it, but it was the behavior that I said, I'm not going to quit. And that's where we as leaders have to understand, even though somebody comes with attitude when you ask them to do something, don't look at the attitude.
Yeah.
Look at the behavior. Did they get it done? Yes. That's all that matters. And so the same with my life when I was going through that fire, I'm like, you know what? I don't like this, but I'm still going to show up. Just like it gets ugly before it gets better. A cocoon, a butterfly goes through its ugliest stages in isolation.
Yeah.
And people look at us as leaders, not being arrogant, but they look at us like, man, you guys just hold it together. And I'm like, bro, you don't even know all the stuff I had to do in the background to get this to happen. You follow what I'm saying? So that's what I wanted to share with people is speaking to that one is to understand, no matter what you're going through, no matter how ugly it looks, just keep walking.
Yep.
Just keep walking because it's gonna be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And to add on to that, because, you know, we are arm in arm. I mean, that's just where you and I are, is for anyone who heard that and you're sitting here going, well, I really want to, you can reach out to us, by the way, our doors and hearts are open. But if you don't, just like Paul and I hadn't met in this human life years prior, he was still out there. So there are people out there waiting for you to show up. Like you, we are waiting for, I just get emotional. We're waiting for you to show up and we're there to help you. There will be people that will receive you when you choose yourself, and you won't know half of who they are. They're just going to show up. But like your friend that said, come and stay, you knew her. But I'm sure there's people that when you get rid of, when you cleanse out what's not meant for you, what's right for you comes toward. And that's with the freedom aspect too, is being able to live your authentic life. And right. The We Leadership aspect is, it is a movement and it's a revolution inside yourself to be as authentic as you can, so you can show up vulnerably to the world so that everyone has their freedom. And freedom is one of the greatest gifts that I think that we have the option for, and that you offer in your walk, in your life, that you've shown, that you've chosen the route that hasn't always been the easiest, but it's been your purest, most authentic. It hasn't always looked pretty, but where you stand right now, if we would have met, 25 so years ago, would have been, no way would I be sitting here talking to this woman on this screen, because we didn't grow up with phones anyways, but besides that point, it's kind of dating us, but besides that point is, wow, I wouldn't be telling that story.
Right.
But you gave it all you could. You offered yourself so much. And for me, you're so inspiring. And I, even on this podcast, because I don't proclaim to know everyone's story, and I discover things about everyone all the time. And that's the beauty of our connection too, is the freedom to love each other in our uniquenesses and create the movement together. I am so happy you're on this earth. I am so happy you're on this earth with me and likewise. Out there, it's just such an honor to have you around and to know what you're doing out there. And I didn't mention something on this, and I have one other couple of questions, but they're very quick. And this is another podcast, so I'll say it and I'm not going to pause it, but I was an altar girl for many years. And
oh, wow.
Oh yeah. I was an altar girl, confirmation, everything. And again, this is another podcast. I kind of want to bring it up because it was your story and your time. Right. I was reading out of the Bible and I was on the altar. And literally it was like over and over same ritual of what you say. And it got to the where it said, I worship God. And I literally went, and I just stopped and I couldn't say anymore because I'm like, what do you mean worship God? This is so weird. And I just went to my parents after and I said, I don't think I should be an altar girl anymore. And they said, why? I said, I don't believe what I'm saying. And they're like, well, what do you mean by that? And at that moment, I realized that I didn't even know half the reason why I was doing what I was doing, but I was supposed to do what I was supposed to be doing. But it was like the moment where you thought, I could go one way or the other. And it took some guts for me to say that to my parents and the church. And I just wanted to put that in there because I resonated with your story and also how you speak about the religion and religions. It's not about the religion and the religions. It's about authenticity and about staying true to you and looking at why we're all here, which is freedom, which is love, which is connection, which is all that. So I'm just honored that you spent this time with me and with everyone out there, and it's going to still play out there. And for anyone watching, join the movement, call Paul, call myself, join us, so how can they reach you? Besides the fact that they'll have all their information on the page, they're listening, but how can they reach you?
They can reach me. They can go to my website, setfreelife.net, or they can email me at identityofonecoaching@gmail.com, or they can even visit me on Facebook, facebook.com/ Coach Paul Ibarra. And I also do, for the believer or even the unbeliever, we do a morning devotion at 6:30 a.m. Central called Wake Up in the Word. It's a like page. And so you can find us at facebook.com/ Wake Up in the Word. And we break down conversation for real people that want real results from a real Jesus. And so once I get settled, I want you on, but it'll be really early on your end. So
I get up about 5 or 5:30. So I'll be fine.
Okay. Awesome. So that's how they can find me. They can find me on on Instagram, Set Free Lab, or you can either look up Coach Paul Ibarra as well. And so everything on my handle is always either Set Free or Paul Ibarra. That's Y-B-A-R-R-A. So again, I just want to thank you, Elena, for bringing me on your show. This has been freaking awesome. I mean, just so awesome. And, you know, just speaking to that person who is going through that season, just keep doing it. Stay and everything's going to work out.
Yeah. I love that. You know, and we are so connected, because I was going to say, leave them with a drop mic, leave them with one. And you just already did it. So, and that's what you get when you're authentically connected to someone and there's nothing between you. Like, my heart is really like crying beautiful, joyous tears of our connection. So, so yeah, thank you for that. So we'll wrap it up, and we will be back again many times, I think, having other conversations, but thank you for being here, and keep us posted how the move goes. And I will definitely show up in the group. Definitely go to his group. Find him online. There is no statement or question I guarantee you can ask or share with him that he's going to say, that's not in my wheelhouse. If it's not, he'll go find someone, or he just will receive you. So if this inspired you, if this touched you, if this opened your eyes, this anything, if it did anything, if it raised a hair on your head, contact Paul, because if you think this was great, being connected with him true one-on-one is really a special treat. So thank you again for coming on.
You're welcome. And thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been awesome.
Bye. Thank you for showing up and listening to the We Leaders podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, challenged you, had you lean in just that much more, I would love to hear from you. Connect with me directly at weleaderspodcast.com or email me at connect@pendulumglobal.com. And while you're on the website, make sure to download your free gift. We create one new for you every month. With this podcast, we're building a global community of leaders who want to level up, the leaders of the future. This is a movement. If you know somebody who would benefit from this message, this podcast, or the communities and services that we're creating, share this out using the social media buttons on this page. If you'd like to subscribe, then you can get automatic updates of the new podcast episodes by subscribing on the podcast app on your mobile device. We appreciate you showing up. So if you go to your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star review and your authentic feedback and what you want to hear on this podcast, because what this is created for you, by you, so that we can level up together. This is a movement. Join us. Welcome to creating your legacy. Now let's go build history.